Welcome to The Word at Westminster, a podcast with talks, studies, interviews, sermons, and more from Westminster Church in Barrie, Canada. It's about learning and living God's Word. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We have begun using the Apostles' Creed in our worship services. We've always used it, but not every Sunday. Recently, however, we have been saying it each and every week. Why? First, some background. The Apostles' Creed is just that, a creed. In Latin, the word credo means I believe. It is, therefore, a succinct statement of key Christian beliefs. It helps define orthodoxy, meaning right belief. These aren't just peripheral beliefs either. Think of them like rumble strips on the highway. They keep us on track. If we wander away from them, we have veered from the historic faith and into a theological ditch. The creed itself is threefold. Section 1 is about God the Father. Section 2 is about God the Son, Jesus. Section 3 is about the Holy Spirit. Tim Keller once said that if we abandon these beliefs, we have gone outside the boundary of the Christian faith. Similarly, J.I. Packer said that if the Bible is like a map, then the creed is the simplified version of that map. Short, succinct, and to the point. Despite popular misconception, it was not written by the apostles. The confusion is understandable. After all, it has apostles in the title, and there are roughly 12 statements corresponding to the original 12 apostles. However, it is named the Apostles' Creed because it reflects apostolic teaching. In other words, it passes on teaching that is faithful to the apostles who walked and talked with Jesus himself. The various statements in the creed are rooted in the New Testament teachings and were in use by the year 100. These statements served as the basis for various other creeds in the early centuries, like the Creed of Hippolytus, circa 215, the Creed of Marcellus, 340, and the Creed of Rufinus, circa 404. It was also customary in the early centuries for Christians to study and memorize the creed as they prepared for baptism. At a time when many people were illiterate, memorizing the creed ensured that you would always have it with you, no matter where you were or what you were going through. Further, when various competing beliefs emerged, you could distinguish the true faith from imposters by seeing whether or not they agreed with the creed. One of the appealing things about the creed is how widely it is used. Anglicans use it, Presbyterians use it, Methodists use it, Lutherans use it, Roman Catholics use it. Baptists affirm its teaching, but don't tend to use creeds in worship services. The Eastern Church doesn't tend to use the Apostles' Creed, favoring the Nicene Creed instead, and that's a longer story for another day. Even still, its broad use around the world reminds us that as followers of Jesus, we are unified in Him as a part of a church which is truly universal in scope. On any given Sunday, millions upon millions of Christians all over the world are confessing their faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Many churches use creeds not only for teaching, but specifically in their Sunday services. Like some other denominations, Presbyterians are confessional. They place an emphasis on confessing the faith aloud and in public. 1 Timothy 6:12 comes to mind. That's where Paul says, "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Stating one's faith aloud in worship is a proclamation, a declaration even, of one's saving beliefs while surrounded by an unbelieving world and even by the powers of darkness. With humble confidence, we will not be silent. This practice is not new. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9, was used by the ancient Jews as a kind of creed which was spoken twice a day. Even within the New Testament, certain passages were most likely used as creeds during worship services, or possibly as poetic hymns. Two examples are Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11, and Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20. In addition to confessing one's faith aloud, a confessional tradition aligns itself with ecumenical creeds and other agreed-upon statements, always subordinate to the Bible. Elders and pastors often vow to uphold these beliefs. Today, when we use one of the historic creeds, we are standing in a long line of Christ followers who have lived and died by these same beliefs. Worship fads come and go. Hymns and praise songs change, as does the shape, size, and decor of buildings. Instruments evolve and preachers come and go. Not so with scripture or creeds. Speaking of life and death, the long-standing and life-giving rootedness of the creed is not insignificant. Tom Long describes how creeds can seem like rote and authoritarian statements if we're not thoughtful about what we're doing. In contrast, he says they are more accurately described as blood-stained wisdom wrung from the centuries. With that in mind, the statements in the Apostles' Creed are hills worth dying on, and many have. Eugene Peterson recalls a man who was curious about Christianity. He started coming to worship services at his church. He just stood there in silence on Sunday mornings as the rest of the congregation said the Apostles' Creed. Then one day, Peterson noticed that the man said the first line in the creed, "I believe," but that was it. A few Sundays later, he added the rest of that line. As the weeks went on, he added more and more lines. Eventually, he confessed the whole thing, took ownership of his new faith, and was baptized. Fred Craddock once said that you don't really know what you believe until you hear yourself say it. I'm not so sure I believe that, but what I like about his statement is that true Christian faith isn't just a private experience. It certainly is that, but it isn't only that. It's also public. It is things we think, but also things we say and things we do, not just ideas we silently affirm. When we say creeds in worship, we are declaring publicly our faith in the God of the Bible and committing, or recommitting, ourselves to live by those beliefs. I recently came across an article by Adam Calloway called "Why the Apostles' Creed Still Matters." In it, he said something that makes a lot of sense for the times in which we live. Quote, "In a fragmented, polarized world, the Apostles' Creed reminds believers that there is one faith that unites them across denominational and cultural lines. Whether recited in a small, rural congregation or a larger city church, its words draw Christians together in shared confession. It helps us maintain unity amidst denominational diversity." End quote. Well said. So, why do we say it in church? All of the above. Proverbs 12, verse 3 says, "The root of the righteous will never be moved." So let's root ourselves in the eternal Word of God and in the creeds which keep those truths top of mind and on the tips of our tongues. Let's end with the creed itself. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen."